Welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Damascus Road Gospel Talk Show. This is a service of the Damascus Road Community Baptist Church in Cockeysville, Maryland. Reverend Tony Lawson is the pastor. This is Joseph Miller. Our email address is damascusroadcbc@gmail.com. On the last program, we stopped at Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 24. So we will begin there by reading Jeremiah 50, verses 24 through 32. Before we do, be sure to keep your phones on mute, except when making a comment or asking a question. Also, please have pen and paper ready to jot down information. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus. This is his work. And we ask you to move your mighty hand to rebuke Satan, whatever he may try to do to stop this teaching of your word. Glorify your Son, Jesus, Father, and edify us, those of us who are saved. Convict those of us who are not. Draw them unto your holy Son, Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone does not have your phone on mute. So please put your phone on mute. All right, let us look at Jeremiah chapter 50 and verses 24 through 32. Now, this is talking about the judgment that God is going to bring on Babylon. He's talking about Babylon. Verse 24, I have laid a snare for you. You have indeed been trapped, O Babylon, and you were not aware. You have been found and also caught, because you have contended against the Lord. The Lord has opened his armory and has brought out the weapons of his indignation. And this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the farthest border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps of ruins and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bulls. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe to them, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. The voice of those who flee and escape from the land of Babylon declares in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, all you who bend the bow, and camp against it all around. Let none of them escape. Repay her according to her work, according to all she has done due to her. For she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore her young ones shall fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O mighty, O most haughty one, says the Lord God of hosts. For your day has come, the time that I will punish you. The most proud shall stumble and fall, and no one will raise him up. I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it will devour all around him. All right, verse 24 gives us one of the reasons why God brought judgment on Babylon. They contended against the Lord. And jump ahead to verse 29, and you will see another reason, proud against the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you three verses. Please write down these three verses and look them up in your own, doing your own personal studies. Verse 24, 50, 34 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 50, 29, and then in the next chapter, Jeremiah 51, 11, which is judgment is coming against Babylon because they destroyed the temple and they took the treasures out of the temple and brought them up to Babylon. So there are three reasons, at least three reasons why God is bringing judgment on on Babylon. Now, look at how thorough God wanted Babylon destroyed. He says in verse 26, cast her up as heaps of ruins and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. The word bulls in verse 27 probably refers to the Babylonian warriors, those who defended Babylon. In verse 28, we see that the Jews who returned to Israel after the fall of Babylon will tell everyone that God has taken vengeance on Babylon. Vengeance for, among other sins, profaning the temple when they invaded Judea and Jerusalem. God's vengeance will include killing the young men in the streets and all the men of war being cut off. God says something in verse 31 that you never want to hear. He says, I am against you. And, quote, for your day has come, the time that I will punish you, end quote. We never want God to be against us. For who can be for us if God is against us? If God is against us, there is no hope. So any questions or comments on verses 18 through 32? Questions or comments on verses 18 through 32? All right, let's go to verses 33 through 40. 33 through 40. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel were oppressed, along with the children of Judah. All who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their case, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword is against the Chaldeans, says the Lord, against the inhabitants of Babylon and against her princes and her wise men. A sword is against the soothsayers, and they will be fools. A sword is against her mighty men, and they will be dismayed. A sword is against their horses, against their chariots, and against all the mixed peoples who are in her midst. And they will become like women. A sword is against her treasures, and they will be robbed. A drought is against her waters, and they will be dried up. For it is the land of carved images, and they are insane with their idols. Therefore the wild desert beasts shall dwell there with the jackals, and the ostriches shall dwell in it. It shall be inhabited no more forever, nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says the Lord, so no one shall reside there, nor son of man dwell in it. So God continues to speak of his coming judgment on Babylon. In verses 33 and 34, he says that though captives from the northern kingdom of Israel and from the southern kingdom of Judah were held fast in Babylon, the Lord of hosts is their Redeemer, and he is strong. He will give them rest. He will give rest to the land of Israel, and he will disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon by bringing those captives back to their homeland. Then we see a destruction of Babylon in detail. A sword will come against the princes, the wise men, and the soothsayers in verses 35 and 36. Now, by the way, soothsayer is another word for prophet. A soothsayer was a seer of sooth. Now, 5 centuries ago, sooth meant truth in the English language. So a soothsayer was looked upon as a seer of truth, a prophet, someone who could look into the future and say what was going to happen. Now, a sword will come against the soothsayers and against the mighty men. We see that in verses 35 and 36, against horses, chariots, and mixed people. The mixed people would be people captured from different countries. And a sword would be against Babylon's treasures. Verse 38 says, there will be a drought against the waters of Babylon, and that the land of Babylon is full of carved images, full of idolatry. Now, this is another reason for the judgment of God to fall on that country. In the book of Revelation, which would be written hundreds of years later, Babylon is referred to as the mother of harlots. You'll see that at Revelation chapter 17, verse 5. Idolatry is harlotry because people are forsaking the true and living God and worshiping a piece of wood or metal. God uses the word insane to describe those in Babylon worshiping idols. Verse 39 is fascinating. It says, Babylon will never be inhabited again. Here we are in the 21st century, and we're reading a prophecy written in the 6th century B.C., and the prophecy has come to pass. Babylon has never been rebuilt over the centuries which have passed. Any questions or comments on verses 33 through 40? Questions or comments?
It's Sister Green. I like how he says, their redeemer is strong, the Lord. See,
yes.
I'm thinking that back, you know, right then they're really talking about Jesus, but it's a prophecy about Jesus because he's the redeemer. That's all I had to say. But and then the sword. I mean, golly, I'm telling you, this is like, you know, people are so caught up in idol worship that and they know God and they've been knowing God, but they just, that's why when God said go into an area to destroy the Hittites or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I'm just giving that as an example. He didn't want those people to influence them, but they still like the people like idols and stuff. I don't know. And it's getting that way in America. You know, they like the idols. It's people's excuses. And then in here too, not to follow God, do their own thing. That's it.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Green. Anyone else with questions or comments? All right, if not, let's go to the balance of the verses in this chapter, verses 41 through 46. 41 through.
Are you there?
Hello, you cut out.
We can't hear you.
Hello?
Still can't hear you.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Okay, yes.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. Verse 39. Okay, we're reading 33 through 40.
It was 41?
41 through 46, thank you. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the ends of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and shall not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride on horses, set in array like a man for the battle against you, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them, and his hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of him, pangs as of a woman in childbirth. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the floodplain of the Jordan, against the dwelling place of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? Who will arraign me? Who is that shepherd who will withstand me? Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he has proposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he will make their dwelling place desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth trembles, and the cry is heard among the nations. All right, coming down from the north would be the Medes, and they would be joined by the Persians and the people of other nations and other nationalities. They are described as cruel and showing no mercy, riding on horses, disciplined and ready for battle. If verses 41 through 43 seem familiar, it is because it is a repeat, basically, of the judgment of Babylon coming down upon Judah in Jeremiah chapter 6. And the language of verses 44 through 46 is mainly describing Babylon bringing judgment on Edom in Jeremiah 49. So now God is turning the tables. The very calamity that Babylon brought on other nations is a coming upon her. The meaning here is that the Babylonian troops would, in fear, run away from the defender, from the defending, from the from those attacking, and that would be the Medes and the Persians. So who will arraign me, or in the King James, who will appoint me the time, is a legal term which means who will bring me before a court to answer a charge. So who will require God to explain why he is bringing judgment on the Babylonians? And of course, the answer is no one. No one can bring God before a court to ask him to explain anything. So any questions or comments on verses 41 through 46 of Jeremiah chapter 50? Questions or comments? 41 through 46.
The Bible just shows over and over again, it's Sister Green, that he's in charge regardless of what, who does what. He controls it. He controls everything, you know? Man. Anything that is done against his people, that he allows a certain amount of whatever to happen, and then it's turned against. So each group that comes, they're punished, you know, and because he's in covenant. He got a covenant with his people. It just shows that he is the God. Who else? I mean, they have all these idols. Where's the idols rising up to protect them? Where are they? You know? I mean, God is something else. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Sister Green. Anyone else with a question or comment? All right, let's go to the first five verses of Jeremiah chapter 51, first five verses. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, against those who dwell in Leb-Kamai, a destroying wind, and I will send winnowers to Babylon, who shall winnow her and empty her land. For in the day of doom they shall be against her all around. Against her let the archer bend his bow and lift himself up against her in his armor. Do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy all her army. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and those thrust through in her streets. For Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah, by his God, the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. All right. Now I'm going to read the King James Version of verse 1 because it's easier to explain. King James says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. In this chapter, God continues his judgment against Babylon, along with occasional messages of hope for the captives in Babylon. God says in verse 1 that he's going to bring a wind, a destroying wind against the nation of Babylon and against individuals there who rise up against him. God says in verse 2 that he will send winnowers to Babylon. In other words, to winnow grain is to cast the stalk and the husk containing the grain, cast it in the air, and allow the wind to separate the grain from the rest. God says he is going to send winnowers, and that would be the Medes and the Persians, against Babylon, and they will empty her land. God calls for the archers to destroy all of Babylon's army, and he says God has not forgotten the captives in Babylon from Israel and Judah, though their land was filled with sin against him, the Holy One of Israel. Are there any questions or comments on these first five verses of Jeremiah chapter 51?
Sister Deb, this just shows how God is a loving and forgiving God, for he says he has not forsaken Judah or Israel, even though their land was filled with sin. So it just shows what a forgiving and loving God is.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Deborah. Any other questions or comments on these first five verses?
It's just a green verse, too. You said my Bible is saying fanners, but it's a way to separate the wheat from the chaff. Is that what it is? They throw it in the air and the wind separates up whatever is not the,
yes.
Can you explain two again? Yes, sir.
Yes, like wheat, when wheat is harvested, it has the hulk. It has the part that's not edible still attached to it. But if you take it and throw it up in the air, the wind will blow the chaff or the hulk away from the grain. The grain will fall to the ground, and then the chaff and other part of it will fly away. So winnower is used in the New King James, but fan is used in the King James. So it just means that the wind is going, like wind separates the grain, so the Persians and the Medes are going to come and do a job. They're really going to separate the Babylonians. It's like a metaphor. Winnowing is like a metaphor for what the invading army is going to do to the Babylonians. I hope I made that clear.
Oh, yes, my God, my God. That's why people should be praying the scripture. you know, remind him of his word to separate. You know, you could, I mean, this is like warfare. These God's word is warfare also. If you pray his word and remind him of it, he'll move, you know. We just got so much word that we can use as warfare. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Sister Green. Anyone else with a question or comment? Okay, we've got about 3 minutes, so I'll just read verses 6 through 10, and we'll comment on it the next time. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. Therefore, the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let her go, everyone to his own country. For her judgment reaches to heaven and is lifted up to the skies. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord, our God. So we don't really have time to go through all through 10. So I'm just going to ask in the last minute, anyone has a comment on the destruction of Babylon? And do you see any similarities with what's happening in the world today? If not, I just want to thank everyone for calling in and those who contributed. And we will take up verses 6 through 10 and go through chapter 51 on the next study. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. Goodbye.